welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Welcome to our special live broadcast of All Sides with Ann Fisher at the 52nd Annual Columbus Arts Festival at the Scioto Mile Park in downtown Columbus. We are located at the intersection of Rich Street and Civic Center Drive. We're right in front of the beautiful Milestone 229 restaurant where all the fountains are. If you've been down here to the Scioto Mile, you'll know what I'm talking about. Join us if you want to. If you want to give us a call, the number is 614-292-8513. If you can't join us in person and if you're not in a position to listen on the radio or your computer where we stream live, you can check out the WOSU Public Media mobile app. It's brand new. It's free. Go to WOSU.org/mobile app. We'll take care of you. WOSU Public Media is going to be here all weekend, so drop by and say hi anytime. 10 years ago, there were plenty of skeptics, but apartments and condos kept popping up anyway in renovated warehouses and in brownfields that were cleaned up and other old buildings downtown. And at first, slowly and then more steadily, the empty rooms began to fill. Now there's a new wave of luxury apartment complexes going up in and around downtown Columbus. And listeners, if you are a downtown dweller, give us a call and tell us what attracted you there and why you're staying, or maybe you're not, and why you're leaving. If you're thinking about going downtown and doing the downtown living thing, give us a call and get advice from our experts this hour. Todd Heltbringer, he's president of Heltbringer Mortgage Services. Welcome back to the show, Todd.
Hi, Ann. Thank you.
Also with us is Rob Vogt. He's a real estate analyst at Vogt Santer Insights. Welcome back to the show, Rob.
Good morning.
It's been a while since we chatted, I think last winter sometime.
Yep.
Just in general, thumbs up, thumbs down, or sideways? How's the residential housing market in Central Ohio?
I think big thumbs up. It's been a crazy first quarter and even a great second quarter. Housing is very strong. Rates were extremely low. They were down to 3.25%.
Amazing.
Now, they've gone up a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're back up almost close to 4, but still very brisk.
3.78 or something
like that. 3.78. Yeah. So it's been fantastic. Again, it's been the fastest market that we've had probably in at least, I would say, maybe 7-8 years.
Rob Vogt, do you think that has mostly to do with that interest rate, or is there something else happening?
No, I think actually we're seeing quite a healthy economy right now in Central Ohio. The Dispatch had an article in Sunday's paper that talked about the fact that we have recovered all the jobs that we lost over the past recession and have actually added 55,000 new jobs to Central Ohio, which to me is an staggering number. I mean, we are far exceeding what anybody else is doing anywhere else in Ohio. And looking at some of the recent census figures, we've added 30,000 new residents to Central Ohio. That's a big number, which means it's going to have a big demand on apartments, on condominiums, and single families. So it's one of the best real estate markets we've seen in some time, and particularly among apartments, which we're talking about this morning.
Well, you guys predicted that 2 years ago, I think, that was going to be the case.
Well, it's probably turned out stronger than we even anticipated. Yeah. There's so many new households, a lot of young people looking for apartments, a lot of empty nesters and baby boomers looking for apartments. All the elements there are there right now to support a lot of new rental housing in Columbus.
You both predicted, like I said, that apartment rentals would increase in the wake of the Great Recession mm-hmm. because people were losing their, they had to have some place to live. They didn't have, maybe their credit wasn't good enough to buy. There are lots of bad and good reasons. But did you expect the level of luxury apartment rentals that we're seeing?
We were aware that there were a lot of developers contemplating a lot of high-end apartment units, and I think that as we have seen rent rates increase over the past couple of years, developers have recognized that and said, hey, you know, we're to the point now where financing makes sense to build these apartments because we can get the rents that can help pay for the cost to develop these properties. So we are seeing the highest rental rates in downtown Columbus that we've ever seen. Right now, the average rent is about $1.23 a foot, which is unheard of. You mentioned in your introductory statement or comments that mm-hmm. We're seeing $2,000 a month rents. We will be seeing $3,000 a month rents in a very short time period as these different projects come online and respond to these different groups that are looking for apartments.
There's still a demand, though, for some more moderately priced apartments, and are we going to be getting those?
Well, one of the programs that is used here in Ohio is something called the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program, uh-huh. and they develop a number of properties or have developed a number of properties across Central Ohio, including the Poindexter project that's been in the news recently. That's an affordable tax credit project. It'll be a senior project that will provide affordable units for low-income seniors on the Near East Side. So certainly the demand for low-income apartments is a lot stronger than we can provide the supply for at this point, but there is a very strong need and big demand for those types of units.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival. If you're at the festival, drop by, say hi. We're at the corner of Rich and Civic Center Drive, right in front of Milestone 229. If you want to come over, the WOSU Public Media table will be here all weekend, and coming up later will be Classical, broadcasting live as well from downtown. With me right now, Rob Vogt, he's a real estate analyst at Vogt Santer Insights, and also Todd Heltbringer, he's president of Heltbringer Mortgage Services. Todd, with all of the interest in rentals, I was wondering, you said you still had, you know, from a mortgage end of the equation, a really good first quarter, yes. and looking at a good second quarter. So these are not opposing,
not at all. I think it's a great balance between the two. So you're going to have clients that just need to rent. Maybe it's short term. Maybe it's 1 year that will turn into homeowners at mm-hmm. one time. But I think it's a great balance because we haven't had that in a long time. When financing became where you could put no money down, a lot of the rental markets suffered tremendously because of that. And so now we've kind of flipped up to where you have to have a down payment to purchase a home, or if you don't want to, you can rent just as easy. So I think it's a great, kind of perfect storm right now of interest rates and housing that's available.
Have you seen, Todd, the prices accelerating on the single family side? I've heard that those have been somewhat soft still, that we haven't seen a lot of.
There's been an increase in the numbers of sales, but the prices haven't risen.
Yeah, the prices hasn't risen that much. And that's what I don't want to see a lot because it prices people out so quickly. With two things happening right now, if prices increase substantially and rates have gone up almost 0.75%, you've got both sides of the equation hurting the people that want to qualify for their first home. We've only had a couple of issues with appraisals not making value this year already. In years past, really didn't have a problem. So we've had just a little bit of that, but I still think it's a fast market and people need to be prepared and pre-approved because uh-huh. when the house goes on the market,
and
it's
if it's in
up.
The right neighborhood,
yeah,
it's
gobbled
gone,
up. There's a couple backup offers right away on it. So, again, I tell clients, get pre-approved, get prepared to put that offer in.
If you want to give a call, if you have a question or comment for our guests, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Thinking of buying, selling, renting, Todd Heltbringer and Rob Vogt usually have some great advice, some great insights. Give us a call. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org as well. 10,000 units are under construction in Central Ohio. That includes subsidized units, like you mentioned, Rob. But are we still missing that middle range on rental costs?
Absolutely, just because the cost to develop new apartments is so high. But one of the things that we're anticipating with the addition of all of these units that are currently under construction or planned for Central Ohio, that a lot of the there's been some concern about some overbuilding that's going to occur.
Right.
I probably have less concern about that at this point, given the fact that we've got so many new residents of Central Ohio who are responding to the jobs that we're producing. So it's a good combination of factors that are going to be able to support these numbers. But if we do get into an overbuilt situation, I don't anticipate that we're going to have a serious problem with vacancies among the newer product. We see a lot of trickling down of vacancies occurring amongst some of the older product that's located on the east and southwest sides of town. Some of the product that was built 30, 40, even 50 years ago mm-hmm. that just has lost a lot of its shine to it. They need a lot of, we call it functionally obsolete units. And even though those units could be affordable to that component of the population, they're not always offering the location or the amenities that these folks are looking for. So part of the problem is we just don't have the product in the right place to respond to those middle-income renters.
Okay. Yeah. Todd, what about downtown? It is
it's booming.
Amazing
yeah.
what has happened. People would, I want to use some old-fashioned word, scoffed 10 years ago
sure.
at those who thought that this was a good idea to fill those warehouses with lofts and to build those high-rises that are popping up all over the place.
It's fantastic down here right now. You know, I was telling Rob earlier, we don't provide a lot of financing for the condos, just from the standpoint that when a bank goes in there to build a building, a lot of the banks have part of the product being a takeout loan. In other words, they're going to provide financing to the people that want to come in there and buy the units right away.
Uh-huh.
Most of the condo complexes need to be, quote, Fannie Mae approved before a lot of my investors will participate.
Okay.
But local banks around here, Huntington and Fifth Third and Chase, they'll always provide financing because they're right here in the backyard.
Right.
But it has been fantastic. Heard a lot of, you know, people moving down here. It's you know, the infrastructure came down here also, so it's nice to be down here because there's grocery stores to go to. And
yeah, there's the new Hills Market downtown. As things change financially, you mentioned, Rob, that, you know, that people come here, they want to rent first before they put down their roots. But as we reconsider what it means to live in a city, and as there's more and more emphasis on livable cities, do you see more conversions down the road of these apartments into condos?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that's one of the strategies that developers today are employing, that they're putting in a better quality apartment than we saw 10 years ago. The fact that they have upgraded finishes like granite countertops, hardwood floors, oversized windows, walk-in closets. These are all amenities that you would often find in condominiums. So what they're planning on is that once we get to a point where the condominium market has come back, they'll be able to convert those into condominiums and actually create even a greater demand for apartments. So I think it's a great strategy and one that we'll see a good selection of condominiums probably coming up within the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
The other point that I wanted to make, though, your comment about how we're this renewed interest in downtown is the fact that this is not happening just in Columbus. I mean, we're seeing this across the entire country where there's this renewed interest in living in the urban neighborhood, urban environments. And, you know, Columbus, I think, is just adding or riding that wave right now of interest among the Generation Y, who wants to be part of where all the action is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other comment that I'd like to make is the fact that I think the city has done a fabulous job to create the amenities downtown that attract people to live here. You know, one of the strengths that we had here in Columbus 10 years ago was the fact that we had such strong inner city neighborhoods. We had, you know, German Village, we had the Short North, Harrison West, even Grandview was a near downtown neighborhood. That a lot of those renters went there. They weren't going into the central core of downtown, but now that we've got a lot of the amenities here that attracts folks to live downtown, we're actually seeing a lot of the developers focused on downtown in the central core of downtown. So it's really exciting to see that happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was, when it first started, it was a little bit too fast. They had no infrastructure, so who would want to come down here because I've got travel for this, I got travel for that. But now everything is right here.
Yeah. You got the grocery, you got the drugstores,
exactly.
You've got
the conveniences.
Lots of entertainment.
You need the conveniences. So
yeah.
It
parks.
Was premature at the beginning, but now it's all caught up with itself.
How do you ever begin to, I mean, when you're looking at something like that, what do you build first anyways? There's always got to be the risk takers, right?
Yeah.
Because
well,
why would a grocery store come down here if nobody lives down
right.
here?
Well, they've done their homework. They understand how many rooftops that we have down here, how many households that are being underserved. They recognize that the Giant Eagle up in Victorian Village or the Kroger in German Village has done quite well, and they see a niche for a higher-end grocery product. So they've done their market research as well.
You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Central Ohio and especially the downtown real estate market with Rob Vogt of Vogt Santer Insights and also Todd Helbringer of Helbringer Mortgage Services. If you have a question or comment for them, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If the show sounds a little funny today, that's because we're broadcasting live from downtown Columbus. We are at the corner of Rich Street and Civic Center Drive, right in front of Milestone 229. Come on down and say hi, give us a wave. And we'd love to see you. The WOSU table will be down here all weekend at your service if you want to learn more about what WOSU is up to, especially the new WOSU Public Media mobile app. So check us out. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
say you stumble on a big pile of trash.
The mother load.
The biggest pile you've ever seen. And you think, what would happen if I dug up all that trash, cleaned off the mud?
With the help of a brush.
What would I find?
A letter.
A letter.
Lost sayings of Jesus.
A cow.
The number of the beast.
This week on Radiolab, we take dumpster diving to a whole new level.
Saturday at noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support comes from ARC Industries, creating employment opportunities for people with disabilities and helping businesses grow their own inclusive workforce. ARC is dedicated to the success of its customers and employees and believes our community is at its best when we're all working together. Online at arcind.com.
The WOSU Member Card Benefit of the Month for June is the Wexner Center for the Arts. Enjoy two-for-one admission to the galleries all month long. Visit WOSU.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are broadcasting live from downtown at the Columbus Arts Festival. It just kicked off at 11 o'clock officially, and it's starting to warm up. It's getting brighter down here. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. This is a great time to drop by because the crowds aren't too big yet, but it has picked up a lot. When we arrive in the morning, it's very quiet, and there's nothing to eat, but now there's plenty of things to eat and lots of people walking around talking. The artists have their booths open, so check it out. My guests on the show, because we're talking about downtown and Center City and Central Ohio real estate issues, Rob Vogt, real estate analyst at Vogt Santer Insights. Once again, Rob, thanks for joining the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Also, Todd Heltbringer, president of Heltbringer Mortgage Services. Todd, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you very much.
You both have been on the show many times before, but never al fresco.
This is a first.
It's a great change. Very nice. Very nice.
It is a lot of fun when it's not raining and and driving, when there's
That's
not driving
right.
rain coming in sideways, which is, I think, what we had last year. But the weather is beautiful. I mean, really, it couldn't be more perfect. Fewer high-end homes and newly built homes not selling.
Yeah.
Do you see that changing anytime soon?
I think it will change, but I still see the high-end homes as being soft. More affordable homes that we experience are the ones that are priced from 417 or lower, mm-hmm. the price point. Those are more active. A lot more people can afford. The higher end homes just right now are still, I would say, at least 10% off of where they were previously.
Are people, in a way, just being a little bit more frugal?
I think so.
After that scare?
I think so, because you can still get enough house for a family of four.
$400,000 house is
right.
a nice house.
You still
house.
Probably get a 3,000, 3,500 square foot home
right.
in a nice neighborhood. And be fine. I think the building up the monstrosities that are 6,000 to 10,000 are few and far between right now.
Mm-hmm. How about on the remodeling side?
That's really picked up. Yeah. We have a client right now that we're dealing with on a remodel, and he is extremely busy right now.
Yeah. So you deal with remodeling?
No, I'm doing his mortgage.
Okay. And he's remodeling.
He's remodeling other homes, yeah.
Yeah, and there's some places where they're practically tearing down the whole house and
over.
Just keeping enough to stay up with the local code where you can't tear down a house.
And if you see how well, if you follow the stock market, how well Home Depot and Lowe's are doing. Yeah. A lot of people are saying, I love my neighborhood. I'll go ahead and put money back into it. New granite countertops, new paint.
Yep.
And just kind of revitalize it and everything.
Yeah, because they have confidence that the economy is getting stronger.
Yes.
And they have confidence that they're going to have a job next year. So why not invest in their own property?
But right now, the market being what it is, if someone wants to put their house on the market, should they dump a lot of money into it? Like you were advising maybe a year ago, you really got to make sure the counter's the right color. If it's bright red, get make
right.
those kind of changes.
Go real neutral. I think if you're looking to sell, again, I would talk to the real estate expert, talk to your realtor, but go neutral if you're going to do something. If you're going to do an accent wall, make sure it's going to be something that kind of flows with the whole other parts of the house. So make it sellable.
But big changes, do you think wait for the buyer to make the changes and just price it right?
I didn't think you just price it competitively. I was thinking that if we were going to get the phone call today on the guy that had the swing pool.
Oh, yeah. Swimming pool from Powell.
From Powell, that's right. How he's doing. I was thinking about him.
So. I think he's called us a couple times.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, that you don't need to position your property the way you had to previously, that we have enough buyers today that you don't have to go in and make some major changes to it.
The realtors that I work with, I'm telling you, they if that client is not pre-approved and ready to jump on that house, they are missing it. It is such a fast market right now.
So it's not good for those people who are doing those house setup things.
No.
What were those
staging.
Called?
Staging.
Bad and times for staging.
I say that the client that's not sure what they want to do, they want to buy, I want to look at these houses. I mean, it's almost like if you like it, put an offer in.
Mm-hmm.
Get something working because they go quickly.
And the stock's low, too. Yeah. I mean, unless you're looking at that higher end stuff.
Right.
There's just not a lot
of it. A lot of product out there. And I read an article, they said a lot of product is not out there because some of those people in those lower prices, they tend to be maybe upside down.
Uh-huh.
And they can't afford to sell because they can't afford to bring money to the closing.
Right.
I've read an article about that too. So.
And for those folks, and we know there are still a lot of them out there, what do you recommend at this point in the game?
In regards
Todd,
to
just stay put, live in your house if you can still afford it?
It depends. I mean, obviously stay in your house if you can still afford it. That's always the best plan. But I think if you're looking to buy a house, there's never a greater time. I mean, rates are still at 50-year lows. If you have some equity, or if you're a first-time home buyer, you could do conventional financing with 3% down. I mean, there was a big misnomer. You have to have 20% down to buy a house. You don't have to have that. I mean, having good credit and 3% down can get you into conventional financing still at rates at 4%.
You know, and I think that's the big question today is why aren't we having more single-family home buyers with the rates as low as they are, as prices are the way they are?
Especially first-time home buyers. It's never better.
You know, we hear about the student housing debt, the fact that young people are staying single
They're
longer.
Saying that's the next big bubble.
That rates could double on the student loans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But even the Generation Y, the 20 and 30-year-olds, you know, they're staying single longer. They're not getting into relationships. They said, gee, I'd much rather have a fun time in the Arena District or the Short North than I would buy a house up in Worthington at this point.
And rent right now. I mean, I think rates will stay low for a long period of time. I mean, too many great things happen when rates are low. I mean, they don't have to be this low. Even if they went back to 5 or 6%, they're still fantastic.
Right.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival downtown. It just kicked off at 11 a.m. So there's lots to see and do and eat. I'm getting hungry. You can go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. We're talking about the housing market in Central Ohio and especially inside the Beltway. Give us a call, 614-292-8513 if you have a question. Now, we were just talking about how the high-end homes, newly built homes, are not selling. This is not the case with downtown properties, though. People are dumping, if they're going to buy down here, they're expensive.
It is expensive. The other piece of that, Ann, is that there's not a lot of choices right now. The fact that so many of the condominium projects that were built in the earlier part of the last decade, for the most part, have been sold over this extended time period, and either they've either been sold or are being currently rented. And so a lot of those leases come up for renewal, they're trying to get rid of those units as well. So we're actually probably going to see a shortage of condominiums within a relatively short time period because we simply don't have much of a supply. But clearly the supply is being created with the apartments that are going to be constructed in the downtown area.
And I wanted to ask you, Todd Helpbringer, are you seeing an abnormal number of refinances because of the rates being what they are? And maybe that a lot of people that might have bought up 15 years ago, if the rates had been equivalent, are just staying put and they're just refinancing and they're really going to hunker down.
Yeah, definitely last year, almost the entire year was just totally refinance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a huge market. Even the first 5 months of the year has been a big refinance. I tend to agree with that a lot of people, as I mentioned earlier, saying, I love my neighborhood, the schools are great, I'm a little unsure about my job, but my rate's at 6%. Why not get into something at 3.5% and we can just maybe put some money into the house? We had quite a few clients that took some cash out to either pay off lines of credit or put money back into the house. So that's always, again, it's that perfect circle of either they're going to buy or they're going to go to Home Depot and put money back into their house. It's been fantastic on all aspects. And again, even the purchases right now, surprising how much is going on of that. Just tons of purchases. So
we were talking about Hills Market a little while ago. They just moved down here in a few recent months. Is there anything else downtown needs, you think, to keep it moving in that direction? They got the drugstores. There's dry cleaners. Mm-hmm. There's not enough, and they're not spread out enough. But I was thinking when you mentioned Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yeah.
Right. Well, one of the challenges that I think downtown Columbus has is that our geographic area is so big. I mean, I've heard the statistic where you could fit like 3 central Bostons or 4 central Bostons into the area that we have in downtown Columbus. So we have a large area in which we need to concentrate services. And I think one of the things, the complaints that I hear is that we don't have enough entertainment options, restaurants, bars, and so on, but we're making progress, and that's the great thing about it. And we have to be able to provide those services throughout the downtown area. If we concentrate them all in one area, then people are all going to want to live in one certain area, and that's sort of what's happened in the Arena District. We clearly have a concentration of those.
There's a movie theater, there's the bars, there's the obviously sports and venues.
Clippers, everything, right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of residential projects that are under construction, like the Flats 2 that's under construction, plus all the projects that are being discussed.
Well, let's get to a call real quick here. Rachel in Granville,
Hi.
You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
What's up?
Well, I moved to Granville last year from a northern suburb of Houston called the Woodlands. And since being in Ohio, I've noticed the growth that is occurring taking on a very similar form in that it doesn't appear that there's any holistic consciousness to how the planning is occurring. It seems to be very haphazard, a lot of suburbs, a lot of strip malls. And if you've ever been to Houston, I think you might agree that it's one of the poorest planned cities in the country. And I was wondering what kind of dialogue is going on in Central Ohio regarding land planning in the context of farm preservation and transportation issues and how we're going to use our land in the wisest way.
Rob Vogt, there have to be questions you have to think about when you're analyzing them.
No, that's right. But I think we've done a pretty good job at controlling some of that growth. I think one of the things that Central Ohio has is a lot of land, a lot of farmland that can be unfortunately developed. We make it pretty easy for developers to put in different housing projects, although we're starting to see a lot more impact fees than we had previously. I also think that communities are beginning to recognize the fact that they need to have their own core or downtown area, and that came out recently with the old Dublin City plan that was talking about to reconfigure 161 and Bridge Street and really make it a true center city for Dublin.
Because there was no place to grow old in Dublin.
That's right. And the same thing is true in Gahanna and Westerville. So a lot of these suburban communities that we have are beginning to recognize that they need to have the same sort of active core that we have here now in downtown Columbus. So I think we're going to see a lot more people focused on their own community rather than allowing it to spread out as we have in the past.
Amazingly, to some people, they never did anything about Route 23 going north.
Right.
And yet the builders came, and it's like instead of growing corn, they're growing houses out there. Despite that horrible commute,
yeah.
I lived there. Yeah. I know. Uh-huh. I don't live there anymore.
I live in Powell still. It's not such a bad commute for me, but I leave for the office at 6 a.m.
Yeah, and so you're going to Worthington.
To Worthington, right.
Yeah.
So. But no, I mean, there is tons of growth up there, up that 23 north.
Yeah.
But there are conversations about it.
Yeah.
Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission
yeah.
for one.
Yeah, and they really are the umbrella organization to hopefully oversee the types of projects that the caller is referring to.
And there is farmland preservation.
There is farm. That's right. That's right.
So I don't know. We don't necessarily have all the answers to your questions, Rachel, but the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission is a good place to start.
Well, I'll look into that. I appreciate your time.
All right. Take care. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
614-292-8513 is the number to call if you would have a question or comment for my guests, Todd Helpringer of Helpringer Mortgage Services and Rob Vogt of Vogt Santer Insights. Let's see. Virgil in New Albany, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, my question is, there's not much infill. In other words, you have core city development, but then you bounce a mile or two and there's nothing there, or you go down Lane going east and that area is like dead. Is there going to be any infill building, what I would call it infill?
Lane
Avenue, going east, you mean into the city, past the university?
Campus area, yeah. Area there, if you go east of the campus.
Okay.
Well, I know that Ohio State has targeted that entire university district over the past several years and has made a concentrated effort to redevelop the Wineland Park area, and I think as that redevelopment occurs, a lot of that will continue to extend north. One of the big questions or comments that we're getting from a number of developers is what is going to be the impact of the sophomore residency requirement on housing east of Ohio State.
Which they start to unroll this fall.
That's right. Now, it's going to be a tough job to be able to provide all the beds they're going to need for all of those students. But I think as that north end of campus, and I think they've targeted the north end of campus just south of Lane Avenue, where a lot of those dorms and beds are going to be located, Lane Avenue is going to be a beneficiary of all those students concentrated in that area. So I think to answer the question of the caller specifically, we'll see a lot of changes on Lane Avenue over the next several years, but there's going to be a lot of changes in the university district as this sophomore requirement is initiated.
I think that goes into effect 2015 or 2016 now. It was supposed to be this coming year, but they're just doing I don't know what you want to do, rolling it out gradually.
Right,
yeah. We have an investor that has a big portfolio down in the campus area, and it's really been nice because you're going to see a lot of the current owners of properties get those properties updated more because it's going to spur on that, hey, you know,
more competition.
That's but right. In the past, if you weren't 100% full and you had a rental property on campus, you must really be doing something wrong.
Right.
So now it's going to make that whole area a little bit nicer.
Right. Yep. Where we would see six or eight college students in a house, we may now get it down to, you know, two or three people, a little bit more reasonable density.
Right, and that's something outgoing OSU President Gordon Gee was looking for when he used to say when the landlords complain, well, too bad, they want to improve the stock, the housing stock and for the students.
The great thing about it right now, Ann, is the fact that we've got such a healthy rental market that's going to soften that impact, that instead of having a student renter, they're going to have a just a regular renter. So we won't see the impact that I think a lot of landlords had anticipated a couple of years ago when this was initially being discussed.
What is the impact of a place like Ohio State on non-student residential people? Is it hard to sell? Is it a hard sell for people? Or do some people come to the university looking for something close? I mean, come to Columbus looking for something close to Ohio State.
We don't do a lot of financing for someone that wants to bring their family and live down there. I mean, we do a lot of financing for the client that wants to buy a rental property to provide housing down there. I mean,
well, that's one of the things that's kept the market so successful in the downtown area is the fact that the Short North provides a lot of the housing choices for the folks who are employed at Ohio State. I live in Victorian Village and see an awful lot of faculty and staff that live in the area and has done a great job at kind of continuing to make improvements into the neighborhood because of all the folks that are associated with the university that live in that area. So, but one of the other important points is that we're seeing a lot of developers targeting Ohio State for providing new housing, and we'll see a number of new projects, I think, along High Street in addition to what's going on in South Campus, building these new apartments for students that rent for $400 or $500 a bedroom, which is quite a big number, I think, when you look at pricing that on a per unit basis.
What'd you pay when you were in college?
I hate to say I didn't go to college.
Okay, what'd you pay?
I lived at a fraternity, so okay. I don't remember what was paid.
You're
you
good
paid,
to
you
me.
Paid dearly.
But my first apartment was $160 a month, so I do remember that.
So you think the rent per bed is $500? Is that what you're saying?
Well, on some of the newer properties,
yeah,
I'm
that's
not
what,
saying
that's what we experienced
some of the
too.
Existing properties, they're well below that, but the new construction projects that we will be seeing will be coming up at $400 or $500 or even $600 a bedroom.
That's what we see too also.
Yeah.
We are talking about the Central Ohio real estate market, especially as it concerns inside the Beltway. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guests are Rob Vogt, real estate analyst at Vogt Santer Insights, and also Todd Helpbringer, president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services. We are broadcasting live at the Columbus Arts Festival right at the corner of Rich and Civic Center Drive. If you want to drop by and say hi, give a listen. WOSU Public Media will be here the entire weekend. So you can drop by the table, and we have lots to tell you about what's going on at WOSU Public Media. Hope you'll stop by. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Support comes from the Columbus Symphony. Picnic with the Pops returns to the Columbus Commons with a weekend of Grammy Award-winning acts. CSO performs with the Pointer Sisters Friday, June 14th, and Richard Mark Saturday the 15th. Tickets at picnicwiththepops.com.
On the next Fresh Air, Brian Kastner describes his worst day commanding an explosive ordnance disposal unit in Iraq. A day of multiple car bombs.
We had six in 15 minutes. Five of them detonated and one did not.
Kastner's book, The Long Walk, is now out in paperback. Join us.
Today at noon on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the feds and our phone records, the high court and our DNA, hot turkey, Susan Rice. Our weekly news roundtable goes behind the headlines. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
This afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. A basic membership for 89.7 NPR News starts at just $60 and comes with our airfare program guide and a grocery tote. Visit WOSU.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're broadcasting live at the Columbus Art Festival, downtown Columbus. It got underway officially at about 11 a.m. today. Lots of people already. Beautiful weather. It's cloudy, but it's beautiful. Nice and cool. If it gets too hot, it's no fun. It's going to be a perfect weekend for the Columbus Arts Festival this weekend. WOSU Public Media will be here the entire weekend. We're located at Rich Street and Civic Center Drive if you want to drop by and see what's going on. If you can't drop by and if you don't have your computer on so you can stream the show, or if you aren't near a radio or if you're not watching television, you now can use WOSU Public Media's new mobile app. It's free. You can check it out at wosu.org/mobile app. It'll work with the iPhone, iPod, iPad, Android, you name it. We've got it. So check it out. With me in my alfresco studio today, I love saying that, Rob Vogt, analyst at Vogt Center Insights. Once again, Rob, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Todd Helpbringer, he's with president of Helpbringer Mortgage Services. Todd, thanks again.
Great, thank you.
If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's hear what Dick in New Albany has to say. Hi, Dick, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi, Ann. I was just calling. They were going to build a racetrack over there by Mound Street on the old Clipper Stadium. I can't remember what it's called now, but whatever happened there, is that still going to be done? Or
As far as we understand, the plans are still,
in place.
I think they're going through the permitting process and getting their financing in line, but as far as we understand, that is going to be a go for that area.
Okay.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Dick. If you want to give us a call, once again, 614-292-8513. Franklinton. We talked about that in the first hour. They want to turn it into an arts district or expand the city's arts district to Franklinton. Tell us about the housing in Franklinton and how that stands up to what their plans are.
Well, I think that's one of the things that goes hand in hand with arts districts is that you need to provide housing for artists. Artists like to be where they create their practice their trade, and I think that Franklinton is going to represent a real significant opportunity for folks in the future. believe it or not, I think it's going to be one of the very hot housing markets 4 or 5 years from now, that we'll be sitting here talking about all the development that has occurred on the west side of the Scioto River. And in fact, Columbus Metropolitan Housing has recently torn down a large public housing project. That site, I understand, is going to become the focus of an RFP or an RFQ, or request for qualifications for a development. There's a number of other smaller residential projects that are being discussed, and there's a number of speculators over there right now that are snatching up sites to redevelop.
Does Franklinton have the kind of existing housing stock that's going to be renovated and repurposed, or is it, I'm sorry, repurposed is the wrong word, but renovated for and updated and so forth, or not?
It has certainly lost a lot of the original stock that was built there 100 or 150 years ago, but the exciting thing about Franklinton is it's got such a variety of different building types, different types of warehouses that I think can be repurposed for a variety of different housing options. It is going to create a very exciting environment, I think, over the next several years.
And
great opportunity.
The costs are right now.
Was that where the Wonder Bread building was, right there in that area?
No, that's
over in the Italian Village.
Italian Village. Sure, and that's being renovated into loft. Residential.
Right. Also, yeah.
But the Idea Factory, which originally was considering the Wonder Bread, is actually moving to the west side over into Franklinton. So that'll be one of the big anchors that will become part of the Franklinton neighborhood.
Right. Idea Foundry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. 614-292-8513. Don't forget to get your calls in. This is our last few minutes here at the Columbus Arts Festival as far as All Sides with Ann Fisher goes. So check it out. The Charlotte Observer reported last week that Columbus, Ohio-based builder MI Homes is in the design phase for multi-generational homes to be built in the Charlotte region. I get that we're talking about more than one generation living together, but what does a multi-generational home look like? What's different about it? I mean, we all heard of the mother-in-law suite. I guess what are they talking about? Is that what they're talking about?
I think that's exactly right, that they recognize that we have to find a way to take care of our parents. And these are large single-family houses that happen to have an apartment over the garage or behind the garage or at a garden level that they can walk out and get back to their housing area.
There's going
to
be a huge demand for that.
No question
about
it.
We're all getting older.
Not Todd, but not me.
Rob, you and I. But there's going to be a gigantic demand for that. Do you think the builders are going to step up to the plate on that? Because that's one of the reasons why a lot of those gigantic houses are sitting there.
Sure.
Is because no one can afford them unless you're older, and they don't want to have to.
Well, one of the things that we talked about was the fact that we've got so many young people looking at apartments in downtown today. The other big component of that is the empty nesters and baby boomers who are going to get rid of that big house in Dublin and New Albany and move into downtown Columbus. The 600 Goodale project that's being under construction on Goodale Boulevard right now.
Right across from the White Castle.
That's right. Yeah. The developer has had such a big response from baby boomers or empty nesters that they've actually created larger units to meet that demand.
So that has sort of those penthouse
higher end. That's right. Uh-huh. So during the course of construction, he actually went through and modified his unit to be able to respond to those empty nesters and baby boomers, and recognizing that is going to continue to be a large component of support as we go forward. I mean, in retirement, what better place would you like to be able to walk to entertainment and the orchestra and performances and all the things that are going in here in downtown, like the arts festival? Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity, I think, in retirement. We're going to see a lot more older adults moving into downtown, representing a larger share of the tenants who actually occupy these units.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. That makes a lot of sense. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Matt in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, thanks. I was interested to ask the panel if there are any things that the city's doing to kind of promote business in some of the empty buildings, especially along East Main Street and Old Town East and areas like that.
Well, I don't see any of that, because it's not what I kind of base my business on.
Well, the city has ongoing programs to make special improvement districts, and I think that there are some of those neighborhoods that that you just mentioned are targeted for improvements, streetscape improvements, with the hope and understanding that will attract new businesses that will want to be in those areas that have a much more appealing landscape to it. So I think I have to give the city a lot of credit for the programs they've initiated. If you look at Parsons Avenue, the improvements that they've made there.
They're willing to put out a little bit for the infrastructure.
Right.
Surrounding infrastructure,
that's
is what
right.
you're saying.
And that's right. And, you know, the fact is that the retail environment has completely changed over the past decade. With the advent of the internet and internet sales and so on, we just don't see the type of traditional retailers that we would have seen 15 years ago. So frankly, we don't need all that commercial space, which creates the opportunity, though, for housing. And a lot of those commercial buildings will be converted into residential uses, hopefully. But I think the city's done a good job at really creating a better, more appealing landscape in many of these older, deteriorating commercial areas.
Thank you, Matt, for that call. I want to get to John in downtown Columbus right now. Do you live in downtown Columbus, John?
Yes, I live down there. I'm actually up in Dublin right now, but I live downtown.
Okay.
Reverse mobility.
Right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's your question?
I've lived there about 5 years. I've been really impressed with all the entertainment options and bars and restaurants that have opened. And I think I know the answer, but the one thing that we are missing is retail. I mean, you can't really buy any type of product downtown. You pretty much have to drive to the suburbs to get it. Is there any possibility that might change?
What do you want to buy?
Oh, anything. Clothing. I mean, you name it, and it's hard to buy downtown. It's great for just about everything except for, you know, general purposes, you know, general purchases and retail and that type of thing.
Now we finally have a grocery, mm-hmm. a good grocery. right, but what's the equation for businesses, retail businesses?
Rooftops. Basically,
they don't
need
have
more
enough
bodies.
People.
Right.
Yeah.
We just don't have enough to support it. And like I said, my wife and I have lived in the Short North for 20 years, and have fought that same issue. You know, we have the same issues there. And although City Center was a great amenity when it existed, it just didn't make sense, economic sense
at
to do
time,
that.
At the time, definitely.
Right. That's right. I think we will probably see some retail developed at the Grandview Yard development, which will be a very short drive for many of the folks who live downtown, so that represents some opportunity. But I think we're going to also see a number of other business entrepreneurs recognizing that we do have a lot of dollars to be spent downtown, and we will see some of the retailers that that caller's mentioned.
Hey, John, are you satisfied with the number of restaurants and delis and all those kinds of things? Do you feel like there's enough to eat?
Yeah, now I am. There's so many things that have opened in the past couple of years that, you know, that's not a problem at all. And there's so many events that sometimes you can't choose which one you want to do. So none of those are all great.
It's a good problem.
But I would love to have a little more retail. That would be nice.
Yeah.
We all would, I think.
Well, hang in there, and thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Take care. What about Columbus Commons? I'm wondering about those apartments that they're building up right next to them. Mm-hmm. They must have some special way to do some sound blocking there. But
well, I think modern construction designs are able to overcome many of those challenges that they might think. But I would think as a 28 or 29-year-old person to live right there on Columbus Commons where the activities are nonstop, I think that's pretty exciting. I think it's going to be a very successful project. And I like the design. I like the fact that it's going to give us another choice downtown. So I think it's going to be a great asset.
Are there a lot of units there, or are they bigger?
I think the numbers are in the mid 150, 160 units, something like that. So I think it's the right number for that location.
And I think of what it's going to do to across the street on High Street.
Oh yeah,
which has struggled for years.
That's right. And in fact, another developer has bought another building in that same area and has targeted it for demolition and rebuild as
which
as
one
apartments.
Is that?
The Troughton building.
Okay.
That's on South High Street. Lifestyle Communities, which is the builder of all the apartments over here.
By the Arena District?
Well, no, right behind the Columbia Gas building.
Oh, okay.
The annex, which originally was going to be condominiums when it was first built. Mm-hmm. And they recognized such a strong rental market, they converted those to rentals.
We just have a few minutes. Jim and Lewis Center, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Fascinating subjects. The question I have is a lot of the downtown housing
had tax abatements for a 10-year period when they were built, the condos in particular. And a number of them are going to be coming to the end of that 10-year period soon. And I'm just wondering if there's any thoughts on the panel there of what kind of impacts that has when tax abatements go away, if they've seen that, particularly if you've seen that in other cities, and what kind of result that has on the demand and the marketability of products.
Well, Jim, that's a great question, and I think one of the major impacts is that it's probably going to slow down the recovery of the condominium or for sale market. On the other side of the coin is that we'll have such a demand for downtown housing that it might counter the negative effect of those tax abatements expiring. But I think that's a very real question that has to kind of be figured in the economic question in terms of what condominiums are going to be worth. I think all communities, downtown areas, have actually gone through many of the same types of problems with tax abatement, and it has a lot to do with timing, that if we can get the prices up to the point where it doesn't become an issue, it won't be as significant of a problem, but it is an issue that we have to address.
Rob, don't you see that people then just move from one project to the next project to get that abatement? And you just... This kind of not one on the, flows not on, from...
Not is that really affordable,
yeah,
though?
Not so much on the for sale okay. side. It might have been true
on the rental side, as those things come...
Well, they haven't been granting abatements on the apartment okay. side too much. It was on the for sale side back at the early part of the previous decade
right.
in order
We've
to
We've done
encourage.
A lot of financing based on that yeah. stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks a lot for that call. Just a couple things... Licking County commissioners have decided to double the real estate conveyance fee charged on every transfer of property. And I was wondering, you know, how much those kinds of changes affect the average home buyer or home seller. It's likely that more of that sort of thing is going to happen with the state cuts to the local government fund. I mean, these local governments have to make up the revenue somehow, and they're kind of nickel and diamond.
Yeah, so if it's going to affect the seller more, the seller is going to pay the conveyance.
Okay.
So it's not... I mean, it is what it is.
I mean,
if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. As long as the person has some equity, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it will cut into what they're going to net profit.
But those kinds of things, it just is what it is,
it
you're
is
saying.
What it is,
I mean,
yeah.
I think Fairfield County has the highest, you know, is the state max, and so.
And on the other side of the coin on that question is, though, the conveyance fee actually funds affordable housing in Ohio. So the more the conveyance fee goes up, it does provide an opportunity to build more affordable housing.
Yeah.
So when the county does that, yeah. that's what they have to spend the revenue on?
Not completely. It's just
some of it?
It's a piece of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you guys going to hang out at the Arts Festival and check it out today?
We're here.
Yeah. Do you have time?
We're here.
We'll grab a sandwich.
That's right.
Get some lunch.
Maybe a beer at this point.
There you go. I'm ready.
That's right. There are all kinds of things to eat and drink down here at the Columbus Arts Festival. We have enjoyed a live broadcast down here for the last 2 hours. WOSU Public Media will continue to broadcast for another 2 hours on Classical 101. And WOSU Public Media will continue at its booth at the Arts Festival for the entire weekend. So we hope you'll drop by and check it out. I want to say thanks to my guests, Todd Heltbringer, president of Heltbringer Mortgage Services, and Rob Vogt of Vogt Center Insights. Thanks for joining us today.
Great. You're welcome. Thanks for having us. Thank you.
It's been a long week for the Allside staff. Thanks to all of you, producer Michael DeBonis, associate producer Amy Jurovich, assistant producer Rachel Quimby, production assistants Karim Shaban, Shannon Clary, and Leticia Wiggins, with video production by Rich Karsmitsky and Amber Karsmitsky. Thanks for listening today at our live broadcast at the Columbus Arts Festival. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.